Hey, CSWL Noel Stelagix, it's Anne. A quick note on today's episode. Our lead host, Kev, had COVID, forcing him to shoot remotely, which is why his audio is not the greatest. We ask for your patience and understanding. Please enjoy the show, spread the word, and keep tuning in.
Well, hello there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
I'd like to be a dentist.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Christmas Specials We Love podcast, chat edition. And today's chat focuses on this being the beginning of the season. This is the CSWL's official beginning of the season. Well, I will say Miss Mariah Carey shares our sentiments. If you follow her on Instagram, every November 1st, she has some big glitzy reveal where she's so excited that this begins now the march to the holidays. This episode, we are going to actually cover a little bit of the history of the Christmas tree, but then also how the question of when is it too early to begin setting up? When is it too late? Before we begin, I'm going to go to my esteemed co-host, Christian Blad from the Bladcast. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Kev. I'm already festive in so many ways.
You're dealing with your Halloween hangover?
Well, it's not much of a hangover. It's more of like a sugar crash. It's more of a diabetic coma because we had a very successful night out with the kids. As always, we kind of do the same route every year with the same group of kids, and fun times are always had. But even so, we're still done. I don't know. We're back home by like 9 o'clock. So it's not crazy. But we've talked a lot about sugar sweetened cereals. And I did want everyone to know that our house does have the It's a Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown breakfast
cereal.
Love
it.
Wait a second. What kind of breakfast cereal?
Show that again.
What kind of breakfast cereal?
So it's like most breakfast cereals, it just tastes like corn. But the kids like the marshmallows in it.
So it's got a little bit of a Lucky Charms / mm-hmm. blueberry, frankenberry kind of feel.
Yeah, it's imagine Kix with marshmallows. And that's
okay. Wait. Before we do this, Ann Sleeman also joining us. And you were grounded for Halloween. Nothing went on. You just all into the Christmas prep.
I was a little bit grounded. I was grounded for Halloween. I think I sent you guys all my grandkids' stash that they got, but I had an unfestive Halloween. I am already all set to decorate for Christmas, not doing it tonight, because tonight we celebrate my mother-in-law's 97th birthday on wow. Joy to the World Day, and I could go on a tangent on that, but we'll just say that's an interesting title for her birthday. So I convinced my husband that this weekend we're busting out. I don't know if you guys remember last year, the same mother-in-law who turns 97 today, not a fan of the Christmas tree. So since she lives with us, I've had to improvise. And Clyde, my reindeer from Home Depot, is making its appearance into the living room this weekend with a few other Christmas decorations to start the season off and the march to Christmas.
Okay, a couple of questions. Is it really, you both have mentioned it, is it Joy to the World Day? Is that a thing?
It is now.
Okay, all right. I like it.
So my friend Will Sterling, who for a while, you might know him a little bit, he worked with Ross Matthews for a while. He did his show with him. And so when Ross was doing the show at AfterBuzz, and I've known him, I worked with him in the Dennis Miller show going back like 15 years. And so he decided when he was in college that November 1st, just for him, for fun, he just wanted to be like, today's the day I can listen to some Christmas music. It's Joy to the World Day. No one has to celebrate if they don't want to. You can opt in. But Mariah Carey clearly opted in. The video you were talking about, letting you know that it's her season. And just a little bit before we recorded, I did a special episode of my podcast, The Bladcast, where we just were like, hey, just so everybody knows, it's Joy to the World Day. If you don't want to celebrate, even if you love Christmas, it's fine if it's too early for you. No problem.
Yeah, no judgment.
For those of us who are ready, let's put on some Andy Williams, you know?
Right. And as I was saying right before, when I was in school, this was All Saints Day, still All Saints Day, the day after Halloween. Oh. So going to Catholic school, one of the benefits of going to Catholic school back in the day, All Saints Day, day of holy obligation, we had the day off. So kind of the predecessor to Joy to the World Day.
Yes. And I think we make it secular by taking it from All Saints Day, because we have to embrace paganism today and godlessness. So we can now go to the safe Joy to the World Day. So, of course, joining us at the perfect time is our very own member of Gen Z, Evan.
Hey, good to be here.
Ev, we're discussing how, because Mariah Carey declares this November 1st the beginning of the holiday season, we're wondering maybe we don't just name this Joy to the World Day. Before you judge, I see it already, the judgment's coming. Christian, give them the disclaimer.
It is not mandatory. No one needs to celebrate this early. No one needs to celebrate at any point during the season. You can opt out at any time, but you can also opt in. But obviously, yesterday was still Halloween. It was Halloween. Once we hit midnight, we can be like Mariah Carey. And the extent to which you want to celebrate, I'm more like I'm just going to play some music because it'll cheer me up. But I'm not going to exclusively listen to Christmas music for the next 55 to 57 days. It's time to just sort of have a soft opening, as they say. That's Joy to the World.
Yeah, a soft opening. I like that. Yes.
Soft opening. I like that.
So maybe I'm living under a rock for not knowing this.
No, it's okay.
No, I haven't heard of, like Anne was saying, I've grown up with this Catholic school as well as All Saints Day. Is Joy to the World Day, is that now it's legal to play Christmas music?
My thought is I'd like to say holiday music, and I also am thinking it's more inclusive to go from All Saints Day to Joy to the World Day. That was just my thought, just spitballing at it. We don't have to do this, but I'm just wondering if a Joy to the World Day just doesn't make it more accessible to everybody, less offensive.
I think so.
I don't know that anyone's offended by All Saints Day. I haven't heard of anyone saying that.
They're not?
I've never heard of that.
No. It's okay. That's good. So can we start that? Can we get it going?
I think so.
I'm feeling slightly offended now. Just hearing about it.
I think the Joy to the World Day encompasses all the All Saints, because the saints were supposedly all good. Right? So if you're into All Saints Day, great. Now we're just going to spread it to those others.
Evan, what we're going to talk about today is over the years, throughout the years, how the Christmas tree came about, but then also how decorating, when is the appropriate time? Is there an appropriate time? Is it too early, too late? But more than anything, how this changed over the years, at least since my childhood, and I don't know about yours. And last year when Rick was doing the show, hopefully he'll do some shows this year, I know he concurred with us where they put up Christmas decorations literally the week before Christmas or Christmas week back in the day. Yeah, but Evan, you have the least amount of Christmases of all of us. And I know you don't judge, but for you...
I can't do anything about it anyway, so... be a waste of energy on my part.
It kills me. You know what, Ev? We need to do... Okay, Ev, besides you now being the world's leading expert in Captain Crunch, I'm also a crunchologist, as Christian said. I'm also thinking... You've heard the term Blue Christmas?
Yes, as in just being sad at Christmas?
A song. No, there's a song.
I know the song.
I'm thinking the term for your podcast, your spinoff podcast, Dry Christmas.
Dry Christmas, as in Evan's I don't dry drink Christmas. During Christmas?
No, I just think you're just your sensibility, your wit, your sense of humor, and I like it. I think Evan's Dry Christmas. I'm in.
I think most people are going to think it's about sobriety in the holiday season.
Well, maybe, but you know what? Listen, it's your baby, obviously, so you take it wherever you want. But it just starts here. So I think it's almost like Rhoda spinning off of Mary Tyler Moore or Phyllis. Maybe Phyllis is better, Christian, from Mary Tyler Moore.
Might I suggest, if I may, since it is Evan's Dry Christmas, maybe the spin is what the hot Christmas cocktails are of the season.
That would be, yes. Well, again, it's Evan's baby. I just honestly think if as your producer, Evan, if I just handed Evan one subject a show and just said, your take, that's it. I'm telling you, it's a winner.
That's the whole thing.
Evan, I'm so behind you if you want to do this. Evan's Dry Christmas is amazing.
Dry Christmas. Okay. Let's get it going.
I'm trying to think of who we could identify Dry Christmas with. Obviously, for the older amongst us, we can think of sort of a dry television personality like Dick Cavett. But I don't know who's a modern-day equivalent of, like, who would be the face of a Dry Christmas. Obviously, Evan is our face of it. But for people to understand the concept.
Aubrey Plaza, maybe. She's kind of
Aubrey Plaza is very sarcastic and fun. Although Dick Cavett's also very funny. You might not be entirely off on that.
There's a girl on TikTok that does the interviews really straight faced and stoic, and she just really hit. I don't know her name.
Give me a second. I think it's called Very Good Podcast or something. I forget what it's called, but I know exactly who you're talking about. But
well, listen, we don't want to take up the whole chat on this subject, but I think we're onto something here.
I think so.
Right? Okay, so before we get started with interesting facts I found about Christmas trees and what did we receive from our fans? Let's honor them on this very first day of the season, opening day.
Yes.
Christian opening day, as I'd like to call it, opening day of the holiday season. And if you would be so kind.
Yes, and I love that we're going to this early, Kev. And appropriate with Evan's new spinoff. So I'll share that in a moment. But I do want to say thanks to everyone for all the love we received this week. We love all of our shout outs on Apple, Instagram, text, and emails. I did pick out a couple to share. The first one is a text from Southern Maine. The shooting in Lewiston really triggered me.
Ooh.
I wasn't able to talk when my friends called me. I turned your podcast on for my drive home from work at the hospital. Somehow, hearing all your voices provided me the comfort I needed. Thanks for all that you guys do. Thanks for the laughs. You got me through a tough day. Sorry, I got a little choked up reading that one.
Yeah, that's really awful. All right, well, that's nice.
And then for our new dry podcast, one of my favorite shout-outs actually came via Instagram this week from MD Kiwi.
And what is our Instagram in?
Our Instagram is at Christmas Specials We Love.
Thank you.
MD Kiwi wrote on Instagram, love the start of season two, but can we talk about Evan? Why are we ganging up on Evan so much? It's like a rehash of the 80s classic genre of the adults picking on the kids until the kids show them up in the end. I feel like Evan is John Bender being tormented by Vice Principal Vernon. I guess that's you, Kev.
Yes.
Taking all the flack, but still maintaining his cool.
Yes.
Hopefully,
I think that's a little
Evan
bit of an exaggeration, but thank you.
Hopefully, Evan finds his stash of MJ soon. We'll edit that out for your parents' sake, Ev. Rooting for you, Evan! #! #! Save Evan.
I think we are saving Evan.
I
think that everything that we do is to try and help. And I think that the principal has a bad rap in the Breakfast Club. Those kids don't get Saturday detention because they're good kids. Somebody needs to help them along. But I don't know. I don't think what we're doing is attacking. It's looking out for a worldview that's different than ours and trying to make sure that everybody can get along.
On a lighter note, you could be our Rudolph, right? Who gets picked on at first, but then saves everybody, like the gentleman was saying. And then there's another thing I would like to add, but Evan, I would like to hear from you, please.
No, I mean, what was the name of the listener who wrote that?
It's MD Kiwi.
Yeah, well, MD Kiwi, thank you for the support, but I think I will be okay, but I appreciate the sympathy. So, thank you.
Save Evan.
The second thing I was going to say, on a more serious note, though, is, you see, this is why we're in such a wonderful place with this generation, because this is what we do. We feel bad. Like, we brought Evan onto this show. We have him part of us. We love him. He's hilarious. I think the world of him. But then we all get people get codependent and with this generation, like, oh, he's getting picked. Stop. Please, There's other people in the world being picked on. Turn on the local news, the national news, and you'll see. Well, hopefully it was the light spirit, and especially when he makes the reference to John Hughes, won me over with that.
But yeah, I read it that it was in a lighter spirit, not as that they were triggered. I thought it was just like, hey, save Ferris, save Evan. Let's start save the Evan. Crunchologist hashtag. I think it was
no, I think he just got a new show. I'm telling you, dry Christmas with it.
Dry Christmas.
And the host we were speaking about earlier, her name is Bobby Althoff, and that show is called The Really Good Podcast. It is very dry, very deadpan. Perhaps people have seen her interviewing Drake in bed in a very non-sexual, non-provocative manner. It's just very matter-of-fact. And I think we might be onto something, figuring out the tone for Evan's dry Christmas.
I love it, Christian.
Oh. As Maria's people would say, my wife's people will say to me when I pitch them an idea, let's put a pin in that. And that's it for our chats for this week, right?
Those were two that stood out for me this week,
Kev. I love it. All righty. And listen, for other people who want to text us, it's 351-251-2511.
Yes, and we're working on that jingle. So.
Right, 351-251-2511. And then you can obviously hit us up at Christmas Specials We Love. We're going to start posting some more stuff there. And then at Apple Podcasts, we love those 5-star reviews and your comments. Okay, can we talk a little Christmas trees now, Evan?
Yeah.
Please. All right. So trees have been, okay, this is from the good friends of Encyclopedia Britannica. I don't want to go back to Evan, but Evan,
what?
Did you even see an encyclopedia ever?
I have seen them. I've gone to a couple of people's houses where they've got the whole like HZ thing. And then I think I had a couple of real small ones in classrooms growing up. But
have you ever seen an encyclopedia that isn't covered in dust? I think is really the question.
Okay. I mean, probably. I'm young enough that I know what it is, I'm old enough that I know what it is, young enough that I've never really used one.
Sure.
So
we were a World Book Encyclopedia house, not Britannica.
The oh, you were not kids Britannica.
Were Britannica. Yeah, but my parents got the World Book A to Z.
Got it. Now, Anne, did you ever have the encyclopedia salesman come door to door to your house to sell it to you?
Kev, of course. I think that's why we ended up with the World Book. He came to the door. Helen let him in. Have a cup of tea. He walked out with a sale.
Well, I don't want to go down the Encyclopedia Britannica rabbit hole for too long, but we had an encyclopedia set that was already outdated by the time I was in school. My parents bought one right when they first got married, so they had an encyclopedia set from 1974, which I would be using. The earliest where I used it was 1984 and gone through. And sometimes facts don't change. But there were definitely things that I'm like, I think I need to go to the library because this doesn't seem accurate. So we had the whole set, but they probably should have waited until their kids were school age to actually buy the set of encyclopedias.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna go up to the public library, pull up the microfiche or the microfilm.
I instantly thought of microfiche when he said that, Kev.
I refer to the Dewey Decimal System. Evan, this is the stuff you have avoided. This is the world we lived in. This is the only way we can find information.
I may have been taught the Dewey Decimal System. Don't ask me to spit it back right now, but I at least am aware of it.
So I want to digress for 1 second on the microfiche, if I may. So we had a college in our town, and when I was middle school, early high school, I used to go there and pull out the microfiche, and I thought I was so smart because I had the big monitor and I was reading all the microfiche. I never really did any real research on it, but I just thought it was such a cool thing to do with the little tiny bits of film.
Yeah, that was the days of having AV skills. So Evan, that was another thing. There was the one kid who was the AV geek who would wheel in the TV, and he knew film strips, he knew slide presentations, he knew how to operate a 16mm projector, all of that stuff. Yeah, a whole world. Well, can I take you guys back a few centuries, maybe back to 723 AD?
When love it.
We believe the first, the people at Britannica believe, that's when maybe the first Christmas tree originated in Germany, a bunch of pagans used to prepare sacrifices at an oak tree dedicated to the god Thor, Donar. Now, I know Thor the superhero, and of course I know the Greek gods, but this is 800 AD. Christian, I'm going to go to you for this. Are you familiar with a god named Thor in 800 AD?
Well, the Thor that's the superhero is, at least in Marvel Comics, it's the entire Norse mythology. Odin is their equivalent of Zeus. It's all of that. And so Thor is the god of thunder. So, yeah, I mean, there is an actual god named Thor, just depending on, in Scandinavian countries, perhaps, is where, going back to the 700s, they certainly, if they heard thunder, they figured that Thor was angry.
Okay, so now the word is, again, for you, I really want to keep this secular, Aaron, Evan, please just forgive me for not, but an English missionary, Saint Boniface, B-O-N-I-F-A-C-E, took an axe to the tree to show them that there is no such god, or at least there is no such Thor. And when lightning didn't strike them, they came to realize that that was not the tree to be worshiping. And he referenced a nearby evergreen and said, this is the holy tree. This is the one we should worship. Now, other sources report that when he chopped the tree down, a fir, like a Christmas tree, grew on the site of the fallen oak. So no one really knows. But around this time in Germany, they had these things called paradise trees. Actually, back to the Middle Ages, they would call them paradise trees. And they were meant to represent the Garden of Eden. And these evergreen trees were hung with apples and displayed in homes on December 24th, the religious feast day of Adam and Eve. I never knew this. Other decorations were added, yeah. And religious leader Martin Luther reportedly first hung lighted candles on the tree in the 16th century. And so eventually paradise trees evolved into Christmas trees. And by the 19th century, Christmas trees were firmly established as a tradition in Germany. But as the Germans migrated, they took Christmas trees to other countries. Most notably, it was England. And in the 1790s, Charlotte, the German-born wife of King George III, had trees decorated for the holiday. However, it was German-born Prince Albert and his wife, Britain's Queen Victoria, who popularized the tradition among the British. The couple made Christmas trees a prominent part of the holiday's festivities. In 1848, an illustration of the royal family around a decorated tree appeared in the London newspaper. And then after this, Christmas trees just became common all through English homes. German settlers also introduced Christmas trees in the U.S., but the custom was initially not embraced. Many Puritans opposed the holiday because of its pagan roots, and officials of the Anne of the Massachusetts Bay Colony actually outlawed celebrating Christmas. Their dislike of the holiday was such that they even closed their churches on December 25th. It wasn't until the 1820s that Christmas began gaining popularity in America. And the country's first Christmas tree reportedly was displayed in the 1830s. The Christmas tree's popularity spread with the help of the influential magazine Godey's Ladies' Book, which in 1850 published that 1848 illustration of the British royals. They published a picture, and I think they tweaked the picture to look a little more American. But then after that, trees just became super popular in the U.S., and especially by the 1870s. So what ends up happening is they start having an impact on forests. So as a result, the Germans began making artificial goose feather trees in the 1880s.
Wait, but goose feathers?
Goose feathers
were better than trees? Interesting.
Well, because of the forests were being, it was really becoming a problem. They had become so popular. But get this, in the 1930s, a manufacturer of a toilet brush company has extra brushes and supplies around, and they whip it together to make an artificial tree, and it takes off.
Amazing.
And I remember my tree as a kid, which is probably late 60s, and the way it all went together was very similar to toilet brushes. Now that I think of it, it was very similar. And that eventually gets taken by plastic versions of trees, and of course aluminum ones, which probably should do a whole episode on that at some point. And now today, 84% of the Christmas trees are fake, while 16% are still alive. So like that is a little bit of how the tree in the Christmas tree came about. Now, by the way, there are several different renditions. I just chose to trust our friends at Britannica, but I've read several different things about how the tree came about.
Interesting, Kev. Thanks for that. And it's interesting to me the Germans were so instrumental in the tree, because as I was doing some research for the show, I did not a deep dive into tinsel, but did do some research into tinsel. And it was the Germans, probably in Nuremberg, Germany, back as early as 1600, that started making the tinsel back then out of silver. Like, they would hammer actual silver into little strands. So, of course, tinsel was a sign of wealth and all of that, because obviously who could afford silver? So, and right. Then had a progression kind of similar where it changed materials. And it was copper and tin until World War I started. And then later in the 20th century, aluminum tinsel came in, but that was highly flammable. So it was like, holy cow, we can't use this because houses are burning down. Then it was lead for a short time, but oops, yep, that's poisonous. And the company that made it, also out of German, I remember as a kid, and I don't know how to pronounce it, it's like Stanoli Lametta or some such like that, out of Germany. No, excuse me, out of Italy. And we had that tinsel as kids, I remember. And then it just, like the trees, like morphed through and went into plastic and PVC. So interesting that they were tangential in their paths.
It's funny. I wonder, Christian, I had heard that Hitler was not a fan of Christmas, not a surprise. But what did Germany do in those 5 years during the war? I mean, I'm sure at the end there was no celebrating anything, but in those early years, yeah. I had heard he was not a fan of religion.
Which I think is interesting when you look at the picture as a whole, because it would fit into sort of the Aryan super being, is the sort of being Christian. I don't want to say Christian right, because what that means, but sort of the right Christian, as in like, this is who we are, and this is who we don't like, and here's what we're going to do about them. But yeah, it is very interesting. And yeah, I mean, I feel like wartime, I'd be interested to know what celebration was like in England during the war as well.
I think that there was, well, think of pandemic, which wasn't anything near that, but I feel for communities of faith, I think it's actually stronger. It's just not, might not be as colorful and as vibrant, but I think that it means more, because you're grateful and you're appreciative and you're praying for something better. I feel like with the reason why Hitler wouldn't work with him is because it would be admitting to some other higher power, and he's the higher power, and being German's the higher power. This is just speculation. And I don't know, and I'm a history major, and I don't really know enough. I want to know more. I'm just curious, because they're the ones who created the tree. It's just kind of ironic that it went that way with them. I also did some research.
Just had a light bulb go over my head. The foundation of Christianity, of course, is that Jesus Christ was the king of the Jews. He was Jewish. So that is backstory that doesn't mesh. So that's probably a big reason. Yeah.
You're right. I did some research on when people started decorating through the years, and came up with some stuff. Again, some of it could be disputed. According to this one source, in the late 19th century, from the 1880s to 1890s, Christmas decorations were simple and handmade. Decorating typically began closer to Christmas Eve, and decorations were often put up on Christmas Eve itself. Then in the early to mid-20th century, 1900s to 1950s, Christmas trees and decorations became more common. Many people still waited until closer to Christmas, often in the week leading up to the holiday. And then from the 60s to the 90s, this is when they saw the most vast increase in commercialization of Christmas, with decorations appearing in stores earlier each year. Some families started decorating in early December, while others still waited until closer to Christmas. From 2000s to 2010s, decorations in stores and public spaces began to appear as early as October. Many households began decorating in late November or early December. There was a growing trend of decorating right after Thanksgiving in the U.S. And now in the recent year, in the 2020s, it seems it's been, as we said, as early as November 1st. So going around, and you tell us, and I know we went over this last year, but I'd love to hear it again. And when did your family start back in the day?
Back in the day, as far as the tree went, I grew up Catholic, so we did other decorating throughout the month of December because it started with Advent. So the Advent wreath.
And what is Advent in? That actually is a good indicator. When is Advent?
Yeah, so Advent is the four Sundays of Christmas. So the four Sundays before Christmas, it's basically December 1st or that first weekend of December. So we always started then, and like my Nana would give us the Advent calendar with the weird little piece of chocolate in it, which oddly enough, I saw like an adult version of that the other day with one a day nips for the 25 days of Christmas, which is insane, but I digress. So we started with that, and then we had the nativity, which we set up where we had the three wise men that started way over in one part of the living room, and they would slowly walk around nativity. Wow. Of course.
So again, yeah. the secular version of Elf on the Shelf.
Elf on the Shelf or Snoop on the Stoop. We had the legit, the OG nativity. But the tree itself, so my mom worked every other weekend. It was usually two weekends before. And before we put the tree up, house had to be standing tall, as she would say, or they would, my parents would say, whole place clean, including closets, including under your bed, no ifs, ands, or buts. So usually like 2 weeks before the holidays or the Christmas, even though I would always argue, a friend of mine's neighbor set it up basically the day after Halloween. And I thought that we should be able to do that, but we didn't. We had fake tree, kind of like you had, Kev. With yeah. the metal, with the painted wires. So it was always my job to like set those up in the living room once we were ready to start decorating. But usually about 2 weeks before. Right? Yeah, oh yeah, I love it.
And I think, yeah, the only thing I remember about the nativity was that the manger where baby Jesus slept was empty. And then Christmas morning, they put the baby in the little.
Yes, same.
And the tradition of doing that too.
Really? All right. Yeah. So, Christian, let me go to you, and then I want to hear from Evan. So let's go over the Blatt house.
Yeah. I mean, so we also had a fake Christmas tree, which I think is interesting because conversationally, I feel like now you talk to a lot more people who do real trees. And that when you do have a real tree, your window for when you're going to decorate with it is much smaller, especially when you live somewhere here. Just to go back to Halloween for a second, growing up in the rural suburbs of New York City, we started carving our pumpkins in early October. But if you do that in Southern California, you have to throw it away by like October 10th. So we do that very close to Halloween. Now we have a fake tree here. We've just sort of developed, especially with the kids, that Thanksgiving weekend seems to be when we actually put up the tree. And so it's like one of the things that we do. We have multiple Thanksgivings because my wife has a huge family. We have to see multiple sides. There's a whole thing. So usually it's that Sunday, like the day before they go back to school, we do it. And as a kid, that's about when we would start decorating. And the tree, as we got older, the tree would come down when my brother and I would get it out of the attic. And when we would start, my mom was more of like, well, why don't you go get it? And when we were old enough to actually go get it, we're like, we don't have a good answer for this. So we would do it. But it'd be around the end of November. There might be some decorations, but we'd have a turkey in the window for Thanksgiving, that sort of a thing. So there would be decorations. And we really wouldn't shift the full focus until after Thanksgiving. So about that, though, but definitely by December 1st, because like Anne's talking about, we all had the Advent calendars. Only when I was older did they have chocolate in them. Prior to that, they were just used open, and there's like a picture of nativity story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Oh, and then wait, you must have had the candles around your table, right? Did you have that, the four candles, and you lit one?
For the Advent wreath.
Yeah, the Advent wreath. Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome.
Greatest scam. I love it. Okay, Evan, now, back in 2012, when you were doing this, take me through Evan's dry Christmas.
Specifically 2012.
The origins. No. The origins of your childhood.
Yeah, so a few of the traditions that you guys have brought up are basically kept in my house, especially the nativity scene ones. We would also, Catholic household, we wouldn't put the baby Jesus in until Christmas morning. And we would usually have the wise men moving. I think sometimes, some years we were better at it than others, like would move the Mary and Joseph figures like closer, depending. We weren't always fully diligent about that. In terms of when we started, it was pretty much always Black Friday, like day after Thanksgiving. We had pretty set days of Black Friday is the start. January 6th is the end. Once January 6th comes around, we take down everything that is explicitly Christmas themed. And like, if there's stuff that's wintry, we'd keep that up. But that was when we would do like all Christmas decorations, music, Black Friday to January 6th was.
If like that's because your mom is a Black Friday addict or goddess.
Yeah, she kind of has decried the like decline of Black Friday with the rise of Cyber Monday. She very much misses that.
Okay, so I know we're scheduled to do a Black Friday show. I, of course, am more excited to cover the violence, the mayhem. However, we have my friend Jeff Grams. His father-in-law rents a commercial van that that sits 20 people. Every kid is up at 6, like it or not. T-shirts are made. I mean, so I want to talk. Evan, we may have to have your mom on for that.
Ev's mom has the black t-shirt that says Friday on it.
She has a lot of stories with it.
I love it. And I also do love the lamenting of the decline, because I am noticing the decline. I used to purposely go Thanksgiving Day, or I used to always find ways to run out of last minute stuffing or whatever I had to go grab, only because I wanted to go to those stores to see the calm before the storm. And but I will say the Walmart near us in Connecticut now is closed. It's closed on Thanksgiving. They're just not, they'll do the Black Friday, but no more midnight, and they've migrated away from it, which I'm happy for the people who work there, and especially the young kids. But at the same time, I don't know, there's something kind of fun about all of it.
I mean, love it. I can't wait for a Black Friday chat.
Yeah, right?
If there's ever going to be an episode where I'm going to be the Grinch, it's the Black Friday conversation. I can't be further away from the store. I grew up that way. My mom hated the idea. We would try to get our Christmas shopping done before Thanksgiving for that reason. So, but to Kevin's point, I do love watching videos of people pushing each other to try and get a flat screen for $80. I as an adult, I enjoy that, but I don't want to be a part of it.
Christian, let me just, and I don't want to spend too much time on Black Friday because we're going to do the show, but my dad might one-up you on the Grinch. He used to offer, mostly my sister, he would say, how much are you going to save? And she would say, give him a number. And I'd say it was $300. And he'd go, I'll give you $350 to stay home.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. And I hope the next year she said, I would save $700.
$1,000, right?
We'll go over it when we cover the show. But my advice is, don't go to shop. Just laugh. Buy a couple of things, but don't. But that's when I think it's the best. Shop on the off hours, get the responsible stuff done, but just go for the mayhem. We had fun one time when Maria's mom, before she passed on, we were just doing a lot of things that were fun. And I remember saying to her, Lisa, let's take Maria Christmas shopping, but every time she tries to take something, we'll tackle her. So we wouldn't let Maria buy anything on the Black Friday that we went through the store. Everyone just kept tearing things out of her hand.
I love it.
Unfortunately, those were the days where they had it under control. But yeah, I think the glory years, 2000-2010, I think, were the glory years of Black. Anyway, all right, so we will get to that at some point. I was going to say, so I've been watching this trend throughout the years, and I do remember for us, it was about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks before Christmas decorations would go up. Time moved a lot slower then. I think when you're young, time moves slow. I think when you're older, it moves really quickly. But I think that it moves quicker today for everybody because, again, we had Encyclopedia Britannica, and I referenced that because that's how simple our life was. Oh, you do a book report. Okay. Well, I'm going to go pull up Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm going to get my library card. But I mean, today, it's not only can you just find all the information online, you can even have AI write your paper. So I feel like...
Interesting, Kev.
I just think life is so much faster now. We had more downtime. We had time to be bored. No one's bored anymore. My friends, I don't know how they do it. Friends of ours, Ann, from college, their weekend is loaded driving all over the state for sports and activities that they spend tons of money to have the kids participate in. And while it's healthy in one respect because it keeps the kids out of trouble, in another respect, it's just that I think this is why just everything goes a lot quicker. But I remember the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or Halloween and Thanksgiving, would be so far apart, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it felt like. Now, you've heard me say it. I've said to Maria, like, Christmas is almost over. That's what I feel right now.
Saying that in August, though, Kev.
Yeah, it's almost done. I will tell you, all the way to, say, 15 years ago, when I set the tree up Thanksgiving Day, we had company come over for Thanksgiving here in California, and people were just, like, freaked out that I set it up that morning. I was like, oh, Christmas already? Is it? And that's now gone away. And I feel because life has gotten more challenging, I think we are all embracing the childlike parts of ourselves. Why you think you see 50-year-old guys in Green Lantern shirts, Evan? See guys our age completely upset. I just think escapism is
I'm only 47, Kevin. I feel attacked.
sorry, sir. No, you're in a safe space. Christian, I was at Burt Ward's Walk of Fame ceremony, and you saw what I was dressed as.
That's true. I did see.
Full, head-to-toe Batman costume. So
no, rocking it, I might say.
And by the way, why do we do this podcast? Because it is an escape, and it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's more. We all want to escape now more than ever. So I feel like that's why it's been expanded to day after Thanksgiving. And then for some people now, November 1st, I have COVID right now. I'm all isolated up and we just have a lot going on. But normally, by the next few weeks, our stuff will go up. But there's definitely been a change that's accelerated. I've seen in the last just even 20 years where it was strange even to do Thanksgiving setup or the day after Thanksgiving. And now it's as early as today.
Well, it's interesting just because there is a lot to do celebration wise for Halloween. There's specials, there's songs, there's all that. Thanksgiving doesn't have as much. We have a handful of specials that we'll talk about. Music, you basically have Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song and Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie.
We have some Thanksgiving content coming up. We'll get that kind of business out of the way, and then we'll continue to focus on the Christmas specials. And of course, we will continue these chats that just seem to enlighten us all so much. Hopefully you guys are raising Joy to the World Day. And the other indication is, I'll leave it on this, the first kind of crack in the foundation, I find Lowe's puts up the decorations the fastest. That's always a good sign. And then the next thing I look for, well, one of the next things I look for is the radio stations that go all Christmas. Here in LA, it's 103 Christian.
The coast. I learned about that as my wife, it had been a part of her life, probably for her whole life. So I was made well aware of Coast, KOST, here in Los Angeles. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Nice. And Ellen K morning show, they go over to Christmas, and probably be in a week or two, I think they'll go all Christmas. But do you know that the ratings for radio stations jump as high as 80%? When they switch over at all Christmas.
Wow. They're not the only station that does it anymore. There's a country station that a friend of mine used to work for that they had to, and it wasn't just country Christmas, it was all Christmas. And you can basically set your budget based on how you do at Christmas time because of the demand for it. I think that right around Veterans Day, which is like November 11th, that seems to be when you're going to likely find it. It used to be much closer to Thanksgiving, but that's another week of the ratings book, Kev.
Wow.
Sirius, too, they have holiday traditions, and they have ones that are more pop Christmas stuff. And I remember Denny over there, who's been let go. You remember
Denny Falcone? Sure.
Yeah, Dennis Falcone. He got knocked off in the layoff, but he would program them. And I was highly critical of him to his face about it. We would go back and forth because I just took umbrage with his traditional ones. They were
not
as traditional as they needed to be. But it was nice to have an inside guy anyway that was over there on Sirius. But
which,
anyway,
by the way, I just checked Holiday Traditions, already streaming channel 602 on Sirius XM.
Okay, but you know, Christian. Okay, are you sure? Because it keeps the name Holiday Traditions year-round, and really it's the 40s station. So up till yesterday, it was still 40s.
I'm gonna turn off my mic so that you don't hear the music. I'm just gonna check it.
And is there Florida stations that go all Christmas? There must be.
Yeah.
I am a Sirius XM girl, so I listen to the ones you just mentioned. But when I'm up in Boston, I tune into Magic 106.7, which goes all Christmas.
Yeah,
I don't know of any Florida station.
Yeah.
And of course, Evan, you'll have nothing to do with any of that. Am I right?
Yeah, radio is not. I enjoy having the radio when I have a car that I'm in, but I don't have a car right now, so I will not be tuning into any Christmas stations.
Christian is showing Bing Crosby.
So it's at least on the app. I don't know if you have it as a radio, but I always just sync with my stereo and listen on the app. So yeah, it's definitely on the app already. So
nice.
Okay, so we are playing Christmas at Sirius.
Yeah,
love it.
Okay, the Friday before Thanksgiving will be for Magic up in Boston.
Oh, okay, good. Good to know. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, all right. Well, everyone, please continue to send us your thoughts. Text us 351-251-2511 or hit us on Instagram at Christmas Specials We Love. And tell friends about us. Let's spread the word. We put a lot of work into these. And if somebody want to come. Oh, and Christian is bringing in his medicine, Charlie Brown.
It's the great pumpkin Charlie Brown breakfast cereal.
Yes, Evan, you missed out. Christian was showing us the great pumpkin cereal. We know you are a Captain Crunch, the world's leading Captain Crunch expert.
I am, but I'm also a Peanuts fan, so I have no issue with this.
So kind of interesting. We'll see you shortly. Or Dan, do you say we'll see you Zoll shortly?
Not a Zoll. I don't say the Zoll.
No, you Zoll.
Zoll. I can't even say it.
We'll see you Zoll shortly. We need a better CSWL. I'll throw anyway, guys. Let's keep the spirit alive. Talk soon.